Keep that in mind, that when we go to Jesus, we want to make sure that we're obedient, not to harm anyone, because we're accountable not just to God, but we're accountable to men. And the place we're going tonight at the opening of this feast is that it is the Feast of Weeks. It was also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread during the Passover season, and then we're going to First Fruits. And I want to kind of rehearse that for a moment. And then it says, this is the feast to thank God for his abundance. Okay? You're going to find that in Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 14, 2 Samuel 21, verses 9 and 10, and in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 23. So God is looking for us to truly celebrate his abundance. In the New Testament, there are three references to Pentecost, other than 1 Corinthians 16:8 and Acts 20, verse 16. The most common, of course, is Acts chapter 2. And I think most of us know Acts chapter 2, so kind of skip that part. I just want to go to the next level. The early Christian believers were gathered in Jerusalem for the observance of this particular feast and experienced the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in a miraculous way. And Peter explained that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Now, you have to be aware that, you know, Peter had an incredible multiplication that happened to him when he literally spoke for the first time in boldness. Because the spirit of boldness came upon him in such a way that he was literally under such an anointing that he didn't care who was listening. He just let it all out. And the results were that there was 120 when he started, and 3,000 souls were added that one day. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? This feast was also known as the Feast of Harvest. Exodus 23, Numbers 28, Deuteronomy 16, Leviticus 23. On the first sheaf offered at Passover and the two leavened loaves at Pentecost, total difference. When Pentecost comes, he takes two loaves full of leaven and he says, now, these are what are acceptable to me. Now, the beginning and the ending of the grain harvest sanctified the whole harvest season. The purpose of this feast was to commemorate the completion of the grain harvest. Its distinguishing feature was offering of the two loaves that were loaded with leaven, made with new corn of the completed harvest, which with two lambs were waved before the Lord as a thank offering. Now, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, where would you choose to put two lambs on the case here? What's going on? And he reminded me that there is one lamb that was sacrificed for all of the people. But if you recall back where Moses was given instruction, there was a lamb for every house, wasn't there? Yeah. Every family had a lamb. How many have ever felt they got slaughtered by the family? See, and that, I believe, is for those who have been slaughtered. As a body of believers, many have been slaughtered in multiples of ways, not maybe physically all the time, but there are many that have lost their lives in the body of Christ, and they literally had to give up their life. There was a lady that was testifying on one of the programs that I happened to be listening to, and she talked about her commitment to release grace to the Africans. and I don't remember her name, and I'm not trying to give credit to people, but a pastor was anointed of the Holy Spirit to go and speak, and this is just a few months back. And when he went to speak to this tribe, they were so angered at the news that they literally cut off his tongue. And they said, you're not going to talk about Jesus to us anymore. And then they literally killed him. They chopped him up piece by piece. You know why? Because in the next village, another pastor had been killed, and they just literally killed him, and he rose from the dead. So they weren't going to take any chances. Did you hear that? They weren't going to take any chances. So when the family of God went to pick him up, they had him in pieces. One of his cousins, anointed of God, went to the same town. And guess what he brought? He brought gifts. He brought gifts and repentance for those who had killed his cousin. And he preached the word with power. And guess what? A new church is born in that town because they were radical lovers. That's the word she gave. She said, we are not going to succeed with typical love affairs. We're going to succeed with radical love. And I can remember the first slaughter that I got after I was spirit-filled. I came home from a convention. I was so full of God, I drove everybody crazy. And the next result was that I wasn't ready for was the slaughter that came. And it came from a relative, a very close relative. And I said to my wife, I would like to know what you think of this particular, it happened to be a woman. What do you think that I could buy this woman that she would not go out and buy herself? Because that's what the Lord told me. He told me I need to go out and buy something for her. To retaliate in love, not in the kind of hatred that she had actually accused and literally defiled. And so I went shopping. Because my wife gave me the sizes and I went shopping. And I purchased what I felt was something extraordinary. And paid quite a bit of money, quality store, had it wrapped, and put a card in there, a radical card, to declare that I love this person beyond their insults. When I knocked at the door, they refused to answer the door, and I knew they were inside. So I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, anoint the package and leave it at the door. So I did. It took 3 days for them to recover. At the end of 3 days, I heard from the husband. And the words were, why did you do this? I said, if I would have retaliated with the kind of garbage that came out of your wife's mouth, we would be enemies for many, many days and years to come. I overcame, and I'm going to continue to overcome her injuries with love. So if she thinks she's going to give me another dose, it'll just force me to go shopping again. And guess what? It broke that negative force. And I ended up having a loving, compassionate family member restored to me. Why am I telling you that? Because radical love will change you, and it'll change the individual that God tells you to obey, to bless. Sometimes a blessing to those that don't deserve it will do something dramatic. And that was my experience. And that's exactly what happened with that lady that was testifying about a new church being birthed where a man had given up his blood and his whole body in pieces. Two lambs were waved before the Lord as a thank offering. Pentecost is also a time for giving of the law in Exodus 12, verse 2 through 19. At Pentecost, the Lord wrote the new law in our hearts. Did you hear that? At Pentecost? My personal Pentecost came in February. I don't know what year. I do know what year, but I mean, I'm talking about, I don't know what year that you had that experience. But I was initiated into the kingdom in that month. God literally brought Pentecost to life, and he began to rewrite the laws in my heart. And the church age for me began at that time. This became the first feast that Christians participated in and celebrated. This should be a time of celebration each year. I believe the understanding of this feast is very important. The spiritual aspect of this is necessary if we are to multiply. I want you to repeat that, and I want you to contain it. I want you to repeat it. I believe, Lord, that if I understand this feast, that it will release a necessary time slot for a multiplication in me. It's got to be a multiplication in me. Now, Psalms 147, and I'm going to concentrate on verse 14. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. What did you fill yourself with? Wheat. So he makes peace in your borders, and he fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends forth his commandments to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. And the rest of this psalm is really sweet, because it tells you about he heals, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds, curing their pains and their sorrows. Verse 2, the Lord is building up Jerusalem, and he is gathering together the exiles of Israel. And that's kind of neat, because those, I believe, are the people by that Dead Sea, is the ones that have been literally growing in the midst of death. Okay? There's death all around them, but they're still blossoming. They're still coming to life in the midst of a place where it would not be logical. Okay? Verse 6 says, the Lord lifts up the humble and the downtrodden, and he casts the wicked down to the ground. Verse 10 says, he delights not in the strength of the horse, nor does he take pleasure in the legs of a man. In other words, your own abilities, your own walk. Okay? The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, in those who hope in his mercy and his loving kindness. Praise the Lord of Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened and made hard the bars of your gates, and he has blessed your children within you. Did you hear that? He has blessed your children within you. I believe those are the believers. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends forth his commandments to the earth, and his word runs very swiftly. I believe verse 19 is the only other one that I want to declare for you today. Well, no, this 18 says, he sent out his word and melts. He causes his winds to blow and the waters to flow. That confirmed the vision that was seen yesterday about the water that was flowing as a fountain. Is that correct? And that was, and it's he that causes it. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. Now notice, Jacob and Israel are one and the same person, but their nature had been changed. Jacob was a man of flesh. Israel was a man of the spirit. So a great deal of what I believe God wants to do during this feast is to let us know that he is definitely in charge. He's going to multiply things if we just simply flow with them. A time for the harvest is now. Most of us do not understand harvest time because we of our lives are living in an environment that very few people even put a garden in today. And we are far removed from the production of food. The harvest, of course, was a very important season. And revisit and review your family bloodline to have a breakthrough and move forward in some type of harvest shift mentality. I decree that you will see when any curse entered your bloodline to rob you. Notice again, this is the season that you want to be able to look for this. And let the Lord remind you of the events that kill, steal, destroy your harvest progression. How many know sometimes you have progress going on in your life and all of a sudden it comes to a dead stop? Every time you get to a certain place, it comes to a dead stop. Well, this is the season that God wants to expose. If you remember, Joel says those are the seasons where all those different worms are going to be visible. Yes? And God will deal with those things. So I thought that was kind of neat. Then he says, it's a time of good news to be heard, Matthew 9 and John 4. We must understand that harvest has a process. The seed was broadcast and plowed under in late winter. Prayer was offered for rain in the early and the latter rain, Zechariah 10. The grain was grasped and cut with a sickle, Deuteronomy 16 and Mark chapter 4, verse 29. The grain was gathered into sheaves. The grain was taken to the threshing floor. Tools were used for threshing. You have tools for harvest. Do you agree? The grain was winnowed, tossed into the air, and let the wind blow away the chaff. The remaining grain was shaken into a sieve, Amos 9, verse 9, and some of you are in this process right now. The grain was brought into the storehouse. Find your storehouse. Your harvest must be protected because the harvest has major enemies. Amen? Drought. Ask the Lord to identify and break all your dryness. So I want you to just close your eyes right now and ask the Lord with me. Lord, we're going to ask you to identify and to break all the dryness in my life and in my family. Amen? Locust invasion. Ask the Lord to remove any devouring in your harvest. Locust invasion. Did you hear me? Say, Lord Jesus, if there's any locusts that have invaded, I'm asking you now to remove any devouring that's going on in my harvest. Hallelujah. Plant disease, mold and mildew are two of the very common ones. And we're going to ask the Lord to remove any mold in my life. Say, Lord Jesus, any plant disease, any mold, any mildew, I'm asking you, Lord, to remove these from my life for your glory. The next level, hot, scorching wind. Ask the Lord to turn any adverse wind. Are you ready? Lord Jesus, I'm asking you now to remove and to turn any adverse wind in Jesus' name. War is the next level. The enemy wanted to live off the land. Declare that any enemy that has eaten your harvest will run out of your land. Are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus, any enemy that wants to live off my land. You know, this is serious business. I'm going to ask you to just put your hand up and say, Lord Jesus, any enemy that's trying to live off my land, I'm declaring now, and I command that enemy that has eaten your harvest will run out of my land. Amen. Because the harvest is coming from God. And the enemy comes. And he tries to tell me that I'll never get it. Somebody else steals it. And it's not going to continue. And the first fruits are a key to my blessing. And I'm going to give out my first fruit. I've got a season for that. It's starting now. Amen? This feast was also called the Day of First Fruits, Numbers 28, 26. If you're making note, that's a good one. Numbers 28, 26. Because it marked the beginning of the time in which people were to bring offerings of first fruits. It was the feast of joy and thanksgiving for the completion of the harvest season. Then these offerings were presented as a wave offering for the people. And the first ripe fruits, grapes, grain, oil, wine, and the first of the fleece were required as an offering, etc. And it gives you all of the scriptures for it. But basically, I can tell you that if you go to Romans 11:16, it might help you. At this time, the Lord was credited as the source of rain and fertility, Jeremiah 5:24. And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples at Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And at the festive time when the Jews from different countries were in Jerusalem to celebrate this annual feast, the interval between Pentecost and Tabernacles was the time for offering first fruits. Ask the Lord for your first fruit offering. You can't give out the first fruit offering unless you get a harvest. Amen? So how are you going to give a first fruit if you don't get a harvest from what you've already invested? And then you've got this time slot from now all the way to Tabernacles, which will be in September, October. So, in fact, I can give you the dates if you want. For those of you who are wondering, oh, well, now he's going to get legal. No, I'm not getting legal. I'm just getting holy. Okay? I'm getting holy. Did you hear me? All right. Gee, boy, it took a long time. I thought you'd never get there. Okay? Tabernacles starts on the 14th of October. And Rosh Hashanah starts on the 1st of October. The Day of Atonement is on the 9th. So Tabernacles goes from the 14th, actually from the 13th. It starts in the evening, just like now, and it finishes on the 21st. So that'll give you some insight. You've got this whole time slot right now to get ready every time you get a first fruit crop. Now, how many are expecting some miracles along the way? All right. Without miracles, you're not going to see a harvest. But when that miracle comes, a first fruit comes from that, and you give that to the Lord. Okay? If you are obedient, the Holy Spirit will definitely give you an incredible season when it comes to Tabernacle. And so that's the exciting reality. You're in a time slot that is of God for His purpose, and we will be obedient. The next level will be some of the promises, and I'll share those with you tomorrow. And God willing, you're going to be here if it's at all possible. Bow your heads, please. Father, I've given them what you showed me today. And Lord, you're the only one that can confirm it so that it gets to inside their very hearts and inside their very mind, so that they will have the mind of Christ on this and not the mind of people. I ask that your word would confirm itself to them over and over until they're assured that it's you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Are there any additions? Okay.